Exam practice, test 5, listening, part 4. You will hear a lecturer giving a presentation about the Klondike Gold Rush. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Today, I'm going to talk about an incredible event in the history of Canada, the Klondike Gold Rush. Between 1896 and 1899, over 100,000 people set out to seek gold in the Klondike region, a remote area in northwestern Canada. Only 4,000 people were actually successful. Let's start by considering the journey people had to take in order to reach the Klondike River and start looking for gold. For most gold seekers, their journey began in Alaska, in a town on the coast called Skagway. From Skagway, one option was to take the White Pass Trail through the mountains. It probably looked easy enough at the beginning of the trail, but rocks made it difficult to make progress. On top of this, the men and their horses got stuck in the thick mud that covered long sections of the trail. The other option was the Chilkoot Trail. Now, although this trail was only about 35 miles long, it took about 3 months for the gold seekers to cover this distance. This is because the trail was incredibly steep, and people had to make the same trip multiple times in order to transport their equipment. Most people really had very little idea about how difficult the journey was going to be. So, although 100,000 may have set out on those two trails, only about 30,000 got to the end. So, yes, the majority gave up. Often they were suffering from starvation or disease. They also came to the terrible realization that their journey was likely to end in failure, and so they turned around. Anyway, for those gold seekers who did continue, they eventually reached Lake Bennett. They might have expected that their journey was going to become easier at this point, but no. Because the lake was frozen over, many people had to wait until spring before they could continue their journey. In the meantime, a tent was the only protection they had from the cold. While they were waiting, people cut down trees and made boats. Once the ice melted, they could sail across the lake and start down the Yukon River. Again, this wasn't the end of their troubles. Once they reached a point of the river called Miles Canyon, things became very dangerous indeed. Many boats were destroyed in the rapids. In order to proceed down the Yukon River, the gold seekers needed to employ a real sailor, someone who could steer their boats and get through the canyon safely. From here on, the worst was over, and the gold seekers could sail to a place called Dorson at the mouth of the Klondike River. So earlier on, I mentioned that gold seekers needed to make multiple trips up and down the two trails. This is because they had to transport an enormous amount of equipment. This equipment was set out on a very long list. It was actually the police who gave gold seekers the list, since they knew how unprepared many people were for the journey. People were obliged to take enough supplies to last them a year, so the list included clothing like boots and warm winter coats. There was also the food the gold seekers required. Perhaps items like tea weren't too hard to carry, but 400 pounds of flour would have been very heavy indeed. The gold seekers had to take a lot of tools as well, everything they needed for digging, for building, and so on. Things like rope were essential and could be packed away without too much difficulty. But imagine having to carry two or three buckets with you. All these things were compulsory. So, some people became very successful because of the gold rush, and not because they'd actually found gold themselves. Those who were business-minded saw many opportunities. They sold the supplies that the gold seekers needed. They established hotels and so on. And then there were people like Jack London. London was one of the gold seekers that actually survived the terrible journey, but he didn't find much gold. Still, he was inspired to write. Through his vivid description, his readers could share the feeling of adventure, even from the comfort of their armchair. Finally, it wasn't just men that tried to seek their fame and fortune. Many women also headed up the trails. Among them were Annie Hall Strong and Emma Kelly. In the U.S. and in other parts of Canada, ordinary citizens were keen to read about life in the Klondike. Working for different newspapers, Hall and Kelly often described their first-hand experience of danger and hardship. Another thing that needs to be discussed.
That is the end of part four. You now have 1 minute to check your answers to part four. That is the end of the listening test. In the IELTS test, you would now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the answer sheet.